gotta walk, got the chalk, about to draw outlines for these ladies I'm about to slay. Got my cape on with some napalm, shots of days gone, then the game's on. What you play, huh? Hard to get, I'll be wet for all that dry hate. Looking my way while your eyes say you and I may get off like a bright lane, but I might strain, pull up lame with a migraine. I'm a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. I said a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. Hello, miss, like, what's your name? Such a shame you don't drink, who's to blame? Cause I'm fine like I'm Cosby in the lobby of an AA meeting on a payday. We can make it rain even on a sunny day. What you say? You and I could run away. Meet up when you drop that molly off. Love that chick a Molotov while she's on the side, hating faded lane on the pavement, wasting all of my patience.
Come on, you gotta go.
Go ahead, put your pass out. You gotta get up, beg, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up. All the bands with my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Motherfucker, get up. Go ahead, put your pass out. You gotta get up. I'll beg, but I'll ask now. Come on and get up. All the bands with my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down.
Yo! Welcome to the Whiskey Sick Podcast. I'm Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. Let's get right into this shit. I got a motherfucking question for my man, Polly Malignaggi.
Why the fuck you lying? Why you always lying? Oh my God, stop fucking lying.
Why the fuck you lying, Polly? We saw the video. Why are you lying? Motherfucker, that wasn't a push. You got knocked down, motherfucker. You over here screaming, show the video, show the video, show the video. They show the video. You say, why the fuck they show the video? Because you asked for it, motherfucker. That's why they showed the video. You over here talking mad greasy, saying you whooped his ass, you did this, you did that. We don't believe you. You need more people. Why are you lying, Polly? You begged for the video to come out. Everybody in that motherfucking gym has reiterated the same story. You got that ass kicked. Not the last two rounds. The first 12 rounds. All 12 rounds. You're over here selling wolf tickets. Diaz Brothers wolf tickets on sale. Special delivery. Polly Malignaggi, we don't fucking believe you, homie. You blew it. You over here talking mad greasy. Talking about, you whooped his ass, you whooped his ass. It was a push. In response to the picture that was released, the now famous picture that was released that we found out this week wasn't even released by Conor McGregor and his team. It was some other little chump that was running around in there taking pictures, released that shit. You're all bitter about. So we see a picture of you on your back looking like a fucking stranded turtle struggling to get up off your back. Cortez coming in to save your ass. And you say it's a push. Anyone who would listen, you're saying it's a push. It's a push. He pushed me down. He pushed me down. Sold out. Called the bluff. You said show the video. Show the video then. Show the video. So what does Dana White do? He says, all right, let's give this motherfucker what he asked for. He shows the video. Let everybody else be the judge. Conor said it wasn't a push, it was a clean knockdown. Lobov said, Artem Lobov, it was a knockdown. Other sparring partners that saw this shit said it was a knockdown. What does the video say? It's a motherfucking knockdown. At no part, in no way possible was that a pushdown. You did not get pushed. You even said, homeboy, you even said, if we're going looking back into your testimony, you said that he was getting frustrated with you and he used two hands to push you to the ground. All I saw was your best Travis Brown impersonation, Bambi legs, Mr. Stilt legs himself, wobbling. If anything, my man Connor was holding your ass up by punching you in the face. He was trying to get you, keep you on your feet a little bit longer, but the inevitable happened and you were already stumbling, falling to the ground. Because you were, as reported, concussed, homie. You were concussed. My man, Polly. You're making it hard for me to like you, Polly. I kind of like you. I like you in the booth. I like you doing your thing. You had a little flair. But you're making it hard for me because you're always fucking lying. You fucking lying. Over here talking all this greasy shit, you whooped his ass. We come to find out that you're getting your ass whooped. You're over here saying, oh, no, then why didn't Cortez, you're trying to explain this shit away like, he guided me with his left hand and then, I slipped on his right leg with this fucking elaborate who shot Kennedy ass fucking conspiracy theory that you're throwing out here. Fucking why didn't Cortez count me out? It wasn't a real fucking boxing match, homie. And they did kind of score it because Dana White came out today and said that they took 2 points away from Conor, or they would have in a mock score. They would have taken 2 points away from Conor McGregor because he was fucking bullying your ass on some holding your head, giving you motherfucker on some fucking Nolan Ryan versus Robin Ventura on the mound, fucking noogieing your bitch ass, take this motherfucking shit, just giving it to you, giving the uppercuts while holding the back of your head. So they had to take 2 mock points away from him. He was bullying your bitch ass. And you're over here bitching. And then, to make shit even worse, you're over here saying, okay, now show the whole video. Motherfucker, you know they ain't gonna show the whole video. A week and a half out, 2 weeks out from the fight. Were they gonna give Floyd Mayweather a whole 12 rounds to watch and to pick apart and to prepare for? That's the most stupid shit I ever heard. And then, to make you sound even, you sound like a worse Bitter Betty than the bitch that's framing my man Zeke Elliott. Free Zeke. Free Zeke. You sounding like a disgruntled ex just like that lady. I think you might be worse. Because now you start coming over here trying to throw all this dirt like, oh, he had me living in a crack house. He wouldn't feed me. Motherfucker, is he your pappy? Is he supposed to nurse you from his bosom? If you don't like the fucking crack house, then take your ass down the street to the Snooty Fox. This is the motherfucking spot, homie. The fuck you talking about? He put me in a crack house. Homie, you're a grown-ass man. He didn't feed me. Homie, take your ass to Chick-fil-A. It's down the motherfucking street. He's supposed to feed you and take care of you and nurse you back to life and shit. Motherfucker, you knew what you were getting into. Saying they set me up. I flew across the country like nobody ever flies across the country. What is that, a 7-8 hour flight tops that people do every single day? You said you had 24 hours. It means you had 24 hours to recover like it's some fucking expedition, like you're on the Oregon Trail or some shit. You had to recover from this expedition across the United States and you only had 24 hours. And then you found out you're doing 12 rounds like you're not a grown ass man. They can't fucking say, I don't want to go 12 rounds. I'll go 8. I'll go 6. I'll give you 6 solid, but there's no fucking way I got 12 rounds in me. You a grown-ass man, motherfucker. You can talk for yourself. You can feed yourself. You can go get yourself a little hotel room, get yourself a little telly, get you some of those Mayweather ladies of the night to come roll through afterwards when you're meeting with him, giving him all your little fucking cliff notes that you took from the little sparring session. You could have done all that shit. Instead, You're on the fucking world tour like you're a fucking Rolling Stone out here going anywhere, whoring yourself out, trying to get any ear that'll listen to you, talking all this greasy nonsense like you were 6 months ago, talking about, I could put one arm behind my back and wear ankle weights and a block under my chin and this motherfucker still couldn't hit me. This dude, Conor McGregor, made it 100% known that you were coming for him to whoop that ass. You were writing checks, and he was on his way to the bank to cash them motherfuckers. And if somehow you got it mixed up, you got it twisted, and you expected Conor to be some buddy-buddy and sit down and go over and share notes with each other and try to figure out if you can give him any advice, shut the fuck up, homie. First of all, we know you're trying to angle for a fight with Conor McGregor, a fight that nobody in the fucking world wants to see. All anybody has to do is go watch your last fight in March where you got your ass whooped. I implore you to go watch Paulo Malignaggi versus Sean Porter where you got duffed the fuck out from the opening bell. 4th round, he's out like a motherfucker, looking like Drago was hitting him and shit. Nobody wants to see you fight. Nobody. No matter what happens in this fight, nobody wants to see you fight. You out here whoring yourself out. trying to get a piece of this Conor McGregor pie. And it ain't gonna happen, homeboy. You knew what the fuck you were getting into coming down here. And you got what you asked for. Now, if you wanted to save some fucking face, if you wanted to get an ounce of respect from people, all you had to do was say, yeah, I was talking greasy. I was talking mad greasy. I was saying some shit. I was just talking out my ass. And I came down here to back it up. And, well, this motherfucker's better than I thought. He's actually pretty damn good. He's unorthodox. He was hard to prepare for. I had no idea what I was doing in there. And he fucking gave it to me. I tip my hat. Instead, you want to make every excuse in the fucking book. You want to come out like a scorned ex. You want to drag this out in the court of public opinion like a bad divorce. Meanwhile, Conor McGregor's over here doing his own thing, doesn't give two fucks about you. And you're over here begging for fucking attention. Polly, my man, my mellow, my man, shut the fuck up. Because you know what's going to happen? You know what I'm having a hard time with now? You're going to be calling this fight. Now, I don't think there's been mixed, you know, rumors about this. I don't think you're actually calling the fight. I think you're doing the pre-fight shit with my man Brendan Schaub from Fighter and the Kid and Big Brown Breakdown. You can listen to that shit. Shit's dope. I think you guys are doing the pre-fight shit like you did for the press conference. I don't think you're actually calling the fight. You're not doing the color commentary or anything or play-by-play or anything like that. But, you over here, how are you supposed to call this shit and be a neutral party calling this shit and talk about this shit when you're talking mad greasy? Showtime's over here probably being like, man, we got to pull this dude because he's over here talking mad shit about a guy he's supposed to, you know, be neutral about and supposed to have some kind of level of objectivity for. You don't have any of that because you out here wild and acting like a goddamn fool. Begging for the video to come out. The video comes out. And now you begging, you wondering, you crying, asking why did they put the video out? Why did they edit it? It's edited. Of course it's motherfucking edited, homie. You knew when you walked in there. It was all his cameras, what they were going to do. First of all, even if they want, by all accounts of what happened in the gym, those two sparring sessions, even if they wanted to put a Pauly Malignaggi highlight package together, they couldn't because there were no highlights. Everybody's saying you got shut the fuck out. Dana White's on ESPN today giving you a mercy round. Gave you two rounds just because my man was dumping you the fuck out, noogieing your bitch ass with the headlock and shit. So he gave you two rounds just because they had a point taken away. And then just said, fuck, man, the poor dude standing on a ledge somewhere on the Brooklyn Bridge. We'll give him a fucking mercy round. Polly, please come down. Come down, motherfucker. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, my man. It's okay. It's okay. You ain't the first to be duffed out by Conor. You won't be the last. Step down from the ledge, Polly. Step down. We've heard enough of you from you. Please shut the fuck up now. You're not going to get the fight. Quit whoring yourself out. You're making yourself look mad desperate. If you were on a fucking Tinder site right now, everybody be swiping left because you're just hoeing yourself out. Swipe left, swipe left. Keep it moving, Polly. Keep it moving. Nobody wants that shit. God damn. Shit. Moving right along. Big news today announced about this fight. 8-ounce gloves. They were unanimously approved by the Athletic Commission in Vegas, which was kind of surprising. Usually they have some shit set in sand, and they're notoriously crooked, corrupt-ass motherfuckers over there in the Nevada Athletic Commission. But they approved this. I have no idea why. I'm in the minority thinking this isn't really a big deal. On one of the podcasts, I broke it down to you. The difference between gloves and the impact is very, very minimal. Even between 10-ounce and 4-ounce gloves, the impact is very minimal. If you want a large increase in impact, pounds per square inch, there's a large one between bare knuckles and boxing gloves. It's much more pounds per square inch, more force with bare knuckles than there are gloves. 8-ounce to 10-ounce, very little. When there was an old fight science thing back in the day that they did, 10-ounce to 4-ounce gloves, which one made a more difference. It was literally just 100, it was like 100, not even 100 pounds per square inch difference, which was like from, actually, I think it was like 50. I'm talking greasy over here. It was like 650 to 670 or something like that in pounds per square inch. It was barely noticeable. So there's not going to be much difference in that. Does it make a little difference in speed? Maybe. Surface area to block punches? Maybe. If it was going to give an advantage, it's going to give an advantage to Conor just mentally, because it's going to make him feel a little more like it's an advantage to him, which I don't really think it is. I've been trying to break down why Floyd would want to do this. Maybe it's because he feels he needs that little bit of an edge to get a little bit of that hand speed back. Maybe he's in the gym, he's in there working, he's realizing he lost a little bit of a step, maybe even a half step. I still believe he's quick as fuck. I'm not believing all this shit that they're showing on the All Access where he's out at the titty club all the time. They're literally not showing any footage of Floyd Mayweather training. They're making it look like the dude's taking it as a complete joke, and he's out there riding horses and in a strip club making it rain and shit and roller skating and everything but training. I'm not buying it. I know the dude trains. I know he's a professional. That's how he's 49-0, because he's never taken anybody lightly. I don't think he's taking this shit lightly, but I think there is a little truth said in jest when he's over here trying to make himself sound old and doing all this shit. Yeah, he's trying to hype up the fight because he wants people to think that Conor has more of a chance than he actually thinks Conor has of a chance. But he might be in there being like, man, I just don't have quite as much pop as I had. If I go down with these gloves, maybe I'll be able to gain that little 2-ounce difference. Maybe gives him that little extra pop that he was missing for not fighting for 2 years. So maybe there's a little advantage on each side. I'm not buying it. Whatever. It's cool. If they were like a pound or two lighter, they would have been able to wear 8-ounce gloves anyways. But it's kind of crazy that the Athletic Commission was willing to budge on this. It's just going to show that the commission is willing to do anything for this fight. They know the mega bucks that it's going to bring to the city, that it's going to bring to the Athletic Commission, that it's just going to do, period. It's going to do crazy numbers. What's today? The 16th? We're 10 days away. It's the 26th. The fight is the 26th. We're 10 days away. Next week, I'm going to give the final predictions. I'm going to give a deep, deep fucking analysis. I'm going to call up some homies. I got some motherfucking homies that I'm going to call up. I'm going to have them, our first callers on the Whiskey Sick podcast. I'm going to get them their different opinions on this shit. We're going to have Whiskey in on our normal days. We're going to get his prediction on wax. The media workouts were also this past week. A lot of people talking mad greasy about the media workouts. As you know, everybody's making this a boxing versus MMA shit. I don't know why you have to do this. It's like back in the day. It's like with music. You can't, if you like one artist, you can't like the other. If you like Lil Wayne, you can't like Eminem. If you like Eminem, then you can't like Jay-Z or some bullshit. You know how it goes. If you like boxing, you can't like MMA. If you stick up for boxing, you can't stick up for MMA. If you like MMA, then we're all against the boxing. Fuck all that. It's combat sports. That's what this is. It's combat sports. We're in it for the show. Why can't we just have a good show? Nobody's selling this as a classic boxing match. It's just a fight. It's one dude with a completely unorthodox style that's not coming in here as a boxer. He's not training as a boxer. As a classical boxer. He's not training like that. Everybody, why isn't Conor hitting the speed bag? I bet he can't hit the speed bag like Floyd. Of course he can't hit the speed bag like Floyd. Floyd's been doing that since he was like 4 years old. He can do all sorts of cool-ass little jump rope tricks, I bet, too. He was probably a hit at the talent show in sixth grade. I'm sure he was the fucking champ. Who gives a fuck? Conor ain't coming in here to be a boxer, motherfuckers. It's a boxing match. He ain't a boxer. He's not trying to be. He doesn't have to be. He has to be him. The appeal of this fight is can an MMA, a guy who's trained in multiple disciplines, come in here and excel at a single discipline? You got one guy who's dedicated his whole life to punching, and another guy who's dedicated his whole life to punching and kicking and wrestling and kneeing and elbowing and doing all sorts of other stuff. Can he make that transition? The worst thing Conor McGregor could do at this point is try to become a boxer and try to use classical boxing technique. No. He's going to use his ranges. He's going to use his Taekwondo stances. He's going to switch stances. No matter what you say, Floyd, Floyd's over here trying to act like he's giving Conor McGregor tips not to switch stances because it'll waste his energy. Shut the fuck up. Waste energy. You just don't want looks. You want a vanilla look. He ain't coming with the vanilla looks. He's coming with the wide stance Taekwondo. He's going to be switching. He's going to be doing that touch butt Ito Portal movement shit that's going to fucking mesmerize you with his hands waving in front of your face. That's the point of this. That's his way of winning this fight. It isn't to square up with you, stand in the pocket, and sit there and try to outbox him. It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So all you motherfuckers over here saying, oh, Conor look like shit on the bags in his workout. What the fuck you talking about? He's just hitting bags. I will give you that fucking shoulder warm-up shit. I was cringing when he was doing that, when he was waving his arms behind his back and shit. I was like, damn, you're going to get memed up, son. Conor, do that shit. Do that shit backstage. You're about to get memed up. Sure enough, Terrence Crawford and his homies put out a video of them mocking him and shit. And I was like, god damn it, I saw that coming. By the way, Terrence Crawford is fighting Ndongo this weekend on ESPN. Ndongo holds two belts right now. Terrence Crawford is like 30-0, 31-0 or something like that. If you ain't tuning into that shit, you stupid. Boxing has been on a tear lately. I've said it before. Boxing is outperforming the UFC this year. Completely, hands down, especially with this Conor and Floyd shit that's coming up. But the last, they got boxing back on ESPN. You had the Pacquiao fight with, whether you agreed with the decision or not, was a fucking dope fight. I enjoyed the fucking fight. Didn't agree. That Horn dude did not win the fight, but whatever. It was still a good fight. He made it a good fight by going after Pacquiao and showing him no respect. I'll give him the props to that. Lomachenko put on a flawless performance a week or two ago, and now you have Terrence Crawford, one of the baddest motherfuckers who can end up fighting Lomachenko down the road. Undefeated fighter fighting another monster, and Ndongo, who's a two-belt champion right now. They're fighting for like four belts or fucking, I don't know, all the belts in the world. I don't know. They're fighting for a bunch of belts this Saturday on ESPN. Tune into that shit. It's going to be a good warm-up for the following weekend, which is the fight. The motherfucking fight. And with that being said, I got to go in on one more motherfucker. I got to go in on somebody that I like. But my back's been placed up against the wall. Max motherfucking Kellerman. I've let you slip. I've let you slide. Let you talk greasy. Let you say all the stupidity shit you could possibly say. Over here talking. Conor's not going to land a single punch. Nothing. Not one. And stand by it. Not hyperbole. Specifically say that you're not talking shit. That you truly mean he's not going to land one single punch in the fight. My man, Brendan Schaub, calls you out. Says, oh really? Oh really? Oh, really, Max Kellerman? I got a $100,000 bet that says not only does Conor land a punch, he'll win a round or more, but we'll bet on one round. Max says, I don't bet. Yeah, he went crawling back into his hole real motherfucking quick when that 100 grand was on the fucking line. All of a sudden, putting your money where your mouth is, having the courage of your conviction wasn't there anymore. So you over here talking greasy, Max. And I just kind of gave you a pass. You're one of the greatest boxing analysts. You're a historian of the sport. You literally have an encyclopedia, Rolodex of knowledge of boxing matches. You can name who fought for this title and stuff. I respect your boxing knowledge. It's far more than me. But where you're slipping up is that, you know, your MMA knowledge is the complete opposite of your boxing knowledge. You know zero. Maybe into the negative scales. Real integers. Negative numbers. You know nothing about MMA. And that's fine. I get it. We're not going to watch an MMA fight. We're going to watch a boxing match, right? But where you fail to recognize is how MMA fighters train. MMA fighters, kickboxers, Muay Thai artists, everything in between. They box every single day. Not with just other MMA fighters. Not with other kickboxers. Not with other MMA fighters. with other boxers. They don't throw kicks at boxers. No, they get in there and they work on their hands with boxers every single day. You know who's a classic example of this? The Diaz brothers. The first two to ever dabble with going into the boxing ring. Before Conor even thought about it. These two were both saying, Nick and Nate were saying, we wanted to go into boxing. Because they couldn't get the fights that they wanted. They couldn't get paid in MMA with the UFC. So they threatened to go, or they really wanted to go, but couldn't get it out of their contracts because it's exclusive contract in the UFC. But they wanted to go. Why? Because they trained with Andre Ward, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world right now. Loma's coming right up, though. Lomachenko's going to take that soon. He just needs some big names under his belt, and he'll take that. But Andre Ward is the baddest motherfucker alive right now. Nate and Nick train with him on a regular basis. And if you ever hear Andre talk about his sparring sessions with those two, he'll tell you they give him all sorts of trouble. They take his best shots and don't fucking wobble. They don't shy away. They come right back at him. Those dudes are every camp training with that dude. They're training with a Joe Schilling who trains with them as well, who's a glory K1 monster. Every MMA fighter has regular boxing coaches, regular boxers in their gyms. They box every single day. It's not the same on the other end. There aren't boxers, you know, putting the gi on, putting the shin pads on, going out and kickboxing. It doesn't work that way. But MMA fighters, boxing is a regular discipline that they practice every single day. Conor McGregor has been boxing his whole life. This is not nothing new to him. The only thing is he hasn't had a pro professional fight. That's it. But he's fought, trained with, practiced with, hit pads with professional boxers many a times. And Max, your knowledge of MMA is as amateur as Conor's boxing record. You know nothing, and you make yourself sound mad stupid. Because if you're going to make those kind of statements, you should know the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is what you're not playing into part is you have MMA fighters who negotiate a lot more information on a regular basis than a boxer. Distance for kicks, distance for elbows, distance for knees, distance for round kicks versus distance for straight kicks, front kicks, side kicks. They're masters at negotiating distance. Different distances that boxers never have to. There's only two distances, really. In and out. In the pocket, in the clinch, or the fuck out. There's a lot more different differences. There's a lot more different strikes to negotiate, to have to prepare for, to dodge, to counter in mixed martial arts. So when you put somebody who's trained for all those different scenarios in there against just one scenario, it makes it a lot easier. It's almost like studying for the SAT. You're studying your fucking, your math, your reading comprehension, your vocabulary, your spelling, and then you find out you're only being tested on the math section that day. You're like, oh shit, cool. This is a lot easier. I only have to do one thing. Now you're over here acting like, making these comparisons like Conor, an MMA fighter going into boxing is like somebody who plays ping pong playing in Wimbledon. Or somebody who plays putt-putt at your local Boomers playing in the Masters tournament in the PGA. It's not the fucking same, homeboy. This is a professional combat athlete competing at a champion, competing in the highest level of combat sports, going over to another combat sport. It's that he trains in every single day and has trained in his whole life. It's right on. It's parallel. It's very parallel. And when you say these greasy ass things like Conor McGregor isn't going to land a single punch, even if it goes 12 rounds, you're saying in 36 minutes of boxing, he's not going to land one single punch. That's like saying the best college running back, Heisman Trophy winner, wouldn't gain one single yard in the NFL. That's fucking ridiculous. And Conor wouldn't be the equivalent of a college running back. He's a two-weight division concurrent champion in the highest martial art form there is, combat sport there is, the hardest combat sport there is, which is far harder, more difficult, more taxing, more strenuous. That's MMA, not boxing, my man. So you're over here running your mouth, talking mad greasy, when my man Shab calls you the fuck out not once, but twice, because you keep talking this shit on your show that I watch every single day on First Take. Love the show, but you keep reiterating this shit, but you ain't willing to put your money where your mouth is. Put it up. Put it up, my man. Because you know goddamn well you just running your mouth saying he ain't gonna land one single punch. And I'm with Shab. You already know my official pick on how and when and all that shit. And if you don't, I'll reiterate it again next week. But I promise you, Conor not only lands punches, but he wins rounds. I'm with Shab. We're well over here, standing on a little island with our little pecker swinging in the wind. Gonna look mad foolish if we're wrong, but fuck it. I'll stand with him, pecker swinging in the wind, holding hands, looking into each other's eyes. And if we're wrong, we'll go down together, Brendan. I'm with you. We'll go down together on some Titanic shit. Until then, Max, shut the fuck up. You gotta shut the fuck up, too. Polly, Malignaggi, Max, Kellerman. You two need to shut the fuck up. Now, we gonna switch lanes. We gonna switch gears. My favorite time of year has begun. The NFL season is upon us. I wanted to do a preseason NFL prediction show. I'll give you my predictions right now. But before we get into all that, if y'all don't know already, I'm a motherfucking diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. I roll hard. It's the only thing I give a fuck about in life are the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody has seen the news. My man Zeke, free Zeke, Ezekiel Elliott, has been set up. Has been his house ransacked. He's been fucked over by the NFL with their bullshit-ass investigation. Been suspended 6 games, the first 6 games of the year. I'll be going week 5 to the Packers-Cowboys game in Dallas, in Mecca, Dallas Cowboys Stadium, AT&T Stadium. First time I'll be there. And, of course, Roger Goodell has to go and spoil my party by suspending my man Zeke so I can't see him. So I'm bitter. And I'm coming at you from a bitter state. But it's not all negative. This is a huge victory for every gold digger that lives, or every gold digger that's out there right now plotting and scheming. It's a huge victory for y'all. Congratulations, you gold diggers, you bitches, you. You just got a major victory, and now you're free to blackmail any NFL athlete you choose. And it doesn't even have to be close to accurate. You can just make up any kind of crazy-ass story you want, alleging any kind of allegation you want against these guys, and they'll have to pay up, because that's the precedent that the NFL has set forth now. You don't have to have any evidence. Shit, you don't even have to have any kind of charges be brought up on the motherfucker. Zeke had everything. The investigators, the police, everybody involved said, fuck this, we don't want nothing to do with this. This lady's over here lying. She can't even get her story straight. We got texts of her telling people to lie. There's witnesses saying that she's, going to ruin his career and all this. We don't want no part of this. You don't even need to. It don't matter. Because now, ladies, all you have to do is just say some wild shit on the dude, and he's going to have to pay up, or he's going to get his name dragged across the media, and he's going to get suspended and lose out on all sorts of game day money. My man Zeke's on a rookie contract. He's going to miss 6 games. It's going to cost him close to $1 million in game day paychecks. I'm sure he's going to be fine. I understand that, but that doesn't change the point. That all these ladies now have to do is just go out there and say some greasy ass shit about somebody, and if the player doesn't pay up, Roger Goodell is going to suspend them and drag their name through the mud, maybe even for a couple years before he decides what the fuck he's going to do. So the precedence has been set. Gold diggers, this is a huge victory for y'all. Congratulations. I'm sure this isn't the last time we'll see it. NFL players, my mans. Hopefully you paid attention to this shit. Stay the fuck away from them. I suggest older chicks, Not these young ones that got fucking dollar sign in their eyes. If you met them in a hotel or at a club, don't fuck with them. Don't fuck with them if you met them on Tinder. Maybe if you met them at a PTA meeting, man, maybe we can talk. But all they have to do is say one thing. Say you looked at them wrong. And they felt awkward. And they felt intimidated. And that was felt like they were sexually harassed by the way you looked at them. And your ass is going to be sitting on the sidelines wondering what the fuck happened. So free Zeke. He appealed the charges today. The 6-game suspension. He appealed that shit. So hopefully he can at least, if you can get it down to 4 games, your boy Moody Hank over here can actually see him play. These tickets aren't fucking cheap. So I love you, Darren McFadden, but I ain't trying to see you play. I'm trying to watch my man Zeke Elliott play. I'll be having my free Zeke jerseys out there. But the season is upon us. We'll move on. The season is upon us. With Zeke missing 6 games, even if he misses 6 games, I got the Cowboys finishing 13-3. They're still going to win the East. I got the Giants finishing right behind them. They're still going to be tough. It's going to be a race like it was last year. The Cowboys were 13-3 last year, and the Giants were 11-5. Cowboys only won by 2 games. Giants were with them every step of the way. That offense has gotten a little bit better with Brandon Marshall over there now. That defense is, you know, was crazy good last year. Their offensive line is dog shit, though. So that's going to be the end, because Eli Manning, if he's not winning a Super Bowl, he's had 2 good years, and he won a Super Bowl in each one. Every other year after that, he's probably led the league in interceptions. So it's hard to put your money on that guy. Let's go to the NFC West. I'll give you my prediction on who wins the division. Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Arizona. This is tough. Rams, you dumb fucks you. You got Jared Goff. He's a buster. So you're stuck with that shit for at least another couple years while you sit there and try to find out what he's all about. And I'm over here telling you he ain't about shit. Seattle's going to win this division. Arizona. Damn, Arizona might be able to sneak into a wild card there. We'll go to the NFC South, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Goo, great googly moogly. This is a tough ass. Carolina ain't going to be whack as fuck like they were last year with the greatest front runner of all time, Cam Newton. Dabbing, dancing, taking pictures when everything's going good. They're 15-1, shit sweet. Shoveling handfuls of shit in his mouth. When they ain't winning, he's a poor sport. Won't talk to the media. Got little fucking screw face on every single fucking day. I ain't picking you bitch-ass motherfuckers. But McCaffrey, he's going to have a killer-ass year. That boy can play. His pops, Ed McCaffrey, was a fucking monster back in the day for the Broncos. Won 2 titles with them. Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay. This is tough, man. Tampa Bay is going to be much improved. Monster defense. They got O.J. Howard in the draft. Dope-ass tight end. Pretty much the only thing they needed for that offense. The offense is going to be much improved. Problem is they got a bunch of the Dallas Cowboys scrubs from the secondary that we let go. Our sloppy seconds over there. So I'm going to go with Atlanta again. I don't see them falling off. They got Devontae Davis wrapped up for several more years, 5 years, breaking the fucking bank. NFC North, I don't got nothing to say about this. Green Bay is going to win that shit. We all know Green Bay is going to win that shit. Chicago. Now, I'm going to take a page out of my own recommendations. I said, Polly, you should just owned up when you were wrong. So I'm going to own up when I was wrong. This dude, Mitch Trubisky, looks like he can play. I was out here wilding out saying he was the fucking worst pick ever. I still would have taken Deshaun Watson over him easily. He adds a whole lot more dimensions. But this kid, Trubisky, I know it was just one preseason game. But you can tell. When I saw Dak take that first preseason game, the first time he ever played against the Rams last year's preseason, you knew right away after just 4 series, you're like, this dude can fucking play. Trubisky can fucking play. The man was accurate as fuck. He was making all sorts of plays, putting the ball where it needed to be. And not only that, he was making quick decisions. It's like he knew the coverages and he knew what he wanted to do against those coverages. It's the mental shit that makes a good NFL quarterback. So I think Chicago will be a little more improved. They're still whack as fuck, though. They ain't got no fucking kinds of weapons. The best weapons is that little salsa dancer motherfucker from the Giants. I forget his fucking name. Cruz. Fuck you, buddy. But Green Bay is going to run away with that shit.
I got Dallas easy on that shit. AFC West. I'd like to start by saying fuck the Chargers. I'm from San Diego. I'm not a Charger fan, but I'm a Dago fan. And I rep everything motherfucking Dago. And although I'm not a Los Angeles hater because I was born in Long Beach, Los Angeles County. And I do love Los Angeles, Hollywood, and all that good shit up there. Venice Beach, everything up there. I actually love Los Angeles. But I ain't rocking with the motherfucking Chargers. Fuck them and their little high school fucking stadium that they're playing in. Couldn't even sell that shit out. I watched their first preseason game. They're over there begging in between snaps of the football. They got their reporters up in the fucking stands begging people to come out to the fucking game. You can get the best seats in the house. It's a great intimate way to watch the game. Yeah, that's because they're playing in a motherfucking Pop Warner fucking field. Fuck that shit. And they're going to be doing so until 2020. And my man Spanos leaves because he can't get a the people wouldn't buy him a motherfucking stadium, wouldn't buy a billionaire a motherfucking stadium. So he goes up there only to rent the stadium from another fucking owner. So you go up to L.A. and you still don't even have your own fucking stadium. And now you're playing in the StubHub Center, motherfucker. The night before, the L.A. Galaxy had 25,000 fucking people and sold the StubHub Center out. And you couldn't even get that. You were at like 21,000 for your fucking grand opening of the Los Angeles Chargers. Fuck you, man. You got outsold by a fucking soccer team, motherfucker. In a high school stadium. Shame on you. So we ain't gonna speak their name, but the Chargers got some shit. But the only problem with the Chargers is they got no depth. No depth at all. Zero. Nothing. After their first string, they got nothing. And their Mike Williams, their number 7 pick in the first round, already out. Probably out for the year. They're saying his back's all fucked up. They're hoping he can play, but he's not gonna play. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Perriman, one of their defensive players, went out. Fucked up ankle. He's going to be missing 8 to 10 weeks. Verrett still hasn't come back from last year. Keenan Allen's back, but he'll probably go out for the year in week 2. So they can't stay healthy. They're the worst. They have the worst luck when it comes to staying healthy. Oakland's going to win this division. I think the Chargers are going to be better than Denver. Denver's a bunch of busters. We're going to crack that ass. The Cowboys are going to crack that ass in week 2 or 3. Kansas City will be right there, but Oakland's going to run away with that shit. AFC South, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Houston, Indianapolis. Who gives a fuck? Moving right along. AFC North, Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Easy, easy, easy. My arch rivals, Pittsburgh Steelers. Le'Veon Bell, get your ass out on the field. You're going to make tons of fucking money. If you really want to make the big bucks, then walk away from the Steelers next year when your contract's up. This holding out shit isn't a good look. I never support people holding out. It doesn't accomplish a fucking thing for you. You ain't getting the contract this year. You already fucking know that. I think you got the franchise tag, which means you're getting paid like a top fucking running back this year anyways. So just bet on your fucking self and go out and tear this shit up. AFC East. Well, I don't even got to go over that shit. It's going to be a New England Patriots winning that shit. Miami Dolphins with Jay Cutler. You bust your ass, motherfuckers, you. Jay Cutler. Jay fucking Cutler. You fools are telling me you would rather have Jay Cutler than a man who went to a Super Bowl and damn near went to 2 Super Bowls back-to-back in Colin Kaepernick? Now, I know he said some greasy shit. Now, he didn't even say some greasy shit. He was on there wearing a Fidel Castro fucking shirt. So it's very hard in Miami to get the people to love you when you're in Miami, a large Cuban population, wearing a fucking Fidel Castro shirt. That might have done you in because your owner over there supported you even last year when you were a 49er, said he liked what you were doing and he would support any player on his team that chose to do the same protest that you were doing. And the fact that they still didn't pick you kind of means that you messed up wearing that goddamn shirt, which, whatever, you know, that's not a big fucking deal. You could apologize for that shit. Jay Cutler bringing this dude out of the booth, eating fucking Twinkies and ho-hos and shit, bring him out of the fucking booth and onto this fucking, then this dude, this dumb fuck, non-emotional ass motherfucker goes and says his wife talked him into playing. Of course she talked you into playing. Of course she talked you into playing because there's $10 million on the fucking, she said you better go get that $10 million fucking dollars. You best to go get those $10 million fucking dollars because Shit, I haven't worked in a long fucking time. Hills, Beverly Hills, the Hills fucking show ended about 15 years ago, and I haven't done shit since. And you need to go get that $10 million. I'm sure CBS wasn't paying you $10 million. So congrats to you, Jay Cutler, for fleecing the Miami Dolphins out of $10 million. I wouldn't turn that shit down either. They probably have a better chance with me at quarterback than you. You're whack as fuck. I don't know how you're going to galvanize those troops to go to war with you. Proverbial war, not real war. Go to battle with you. But that's some bullshit. Colin Kaepernick is by far a better quarterback than Jay Cutler. He's a better quarterback than at least 20 of the starting quarterback. No, not 20. He's probably better than at least 10 starting quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And you can't tell me he's not at least a backup. So we get it. You fucking owners are cowards. You don't want him. I really wish that the Cowboys would have gone out and got Kaepernick. Kellen Moore's over here looking like a buster in his last game. This kid, Cooper Rush, undrafted free agent that we signed, rookie, comes out, starts throwing fucking missiles to my man, Rico Gathers, who's the next Witten, who's the next Antonio Gates. This dude's 6'7", 290 fucking pounds, built like a fucking defensive lineman playing fucking tight end. Didn't even play in college. Played basketball in college on some Antonio Gates shit. But Cooper Rush looks dope. Kellen Moore, I don't know, man. I stood up for you for a long time. I think we might have to move on to you, from you. But we bring Colin Kaepernick in, put the star on that motherfucking helmet. Let him compete with my man Cooper Rush. Keep both of them on the team because you never have enough quarterbacks. I'm telling you right now. I know from 2 years ago when we lost to Romo and went 4-12, which was actually the best thing that ever happened to us because it allowed us to get Dak and Zeke and Jalen Smith. Jalen Smith's going to be starting this year. You're about to see a monster unleashed. If you don't know who Jalen Smith is, he was probably, literally the number one pick 2 years ago in the 2016 draft. He got hurt in his bowl game at Notre Dame in like the second half of his bowl game, the very last college game he was playing. He got his knee completely obliterated, and nobody wanted to touch him because the doctors were saying he was going to suffer significant nerve damage, which he did. But people weren't sure if those nerves were going to regenerate, this, that, and other shit. Well, the Cowboys took a second-round pick, took a big chance on him, basically got a number one pick in the second round of the draft, and they just let him sit out all last year in rehab. This dude's about to make his preseason, his NFL debut this weekend. Mad excited for that shit. I'm not sure who the Cowboys are playing, but you guys are going to get sick of the Cowboy talk because I'm gonna come with it. The Cowboys are playing the Colts. Mad excited to see Jalen Smith out there. He's going to be a monster. You pair him up with Sean Lee. God damn, good luck, motherfuckers. Taco Charlton got himself a sack, got a couple quarterback rushes, three tackles, another one for a loss after he was talked shit to by Fairweather fans. Who said he wasn't about shit, he was a bust because he didn't get a sack in his two series that he played in the first preseason game and in the Hall of Fame game. Fuck y'all motherfuckers. Taco Charlton's going to be just fine. The Dallas Cowboys are going to be just fine. Dak's going to ride this team. My man McFadden, Alfred Morris, and Rod Smith, who's Jalen Smith's brother. We got brothers on the team. He can carry the load, too. We got three running backs that are better than every other running back in the league, not named Le'Veon Bell. So we're good at running back, even with Zeke sitting out. Free Zeke. Fuck you, Roger Goodell. You should have been fired a while ago. Should have been fired after that Ray Rice shit. You're over here. Yeah, I'm back on this shit. You're over here thinking that if you throw the fucking book at Zeke Elliott with no fucking evidence, that's going to make up for the bullshit Greg Hardy decision that you made and the bullshit Ray Rice shit that you made a fucking mockery of. You had a video of the man KOing, knocking out his old lady in a fucking elevator, swept that shit under the rug, gave him a 2-game suspension. Now you give Zeke some suspension for a 6-game suspension for some fraudulent ass allegations that police didn't even want to fucking touch and didn't even come close to charging him for, and you think that's going to make up for your fucking incompetence from a couple years ago. Not only that, last year you give the best player that's ever graced a fucking field, as much as it hurts me to say, Tom Brady, a 4-game suspension for some bullshit, for letting air out of the fucking ball. 4-game suspension for some bullshit. Like that was going to make up for all the times that fucking Belichick cheated by fucking filming the other team's practices and shit before the Super Bowl. Like suspending Tom Brady was going to make up for all that. You fucking incompetent. You're the Donald Trump of the NFL. Yeah, you, Roger Goodell. You're the Donald Trump of the NFL. Fuck you. Fuck Trump. Moving right along. Now we moving right along again. Last week, I had a little shout out from my man, my Mello. Mr. Ivanito gave him some props. Said his Betty game was on fleek. Motherfuckers out there handling business. A consummate stick man. Let a stick man stick. Shout out to Michael Rappaport. But my man Ivanito was out here fucking feeling himself like he's doing the Macarena dance and shit. Just feeling himself up and down. Got a little love from the Whiskey Sick podcast. Got a little love from your boy, Moody Hank. Started running around like his shit don't stank. And that's cool. You deserve it, Ivan. I'm talking directly to you right now. You're on the Whiskey Sick podcast 2 weeks in a row. Now, granted, you're the only one that listens to this shit, but let me holler at you. Let me tell you how lucky you are that your boy, Moody Hank, also known as Seth Gecko, is out of the game. He's a married man. I'm out of the game. You were at the wedding. Lovely wedding. My man was out there enjoying himself with his old lady. With a great couple. Cute couple. But that marked my official Seth Gecko off the market. Out of the Betty game. And that was probably the best thing that ever happened to Mr. Ivanito, because let's make this abundantly clear, if I wasn't out of the game, off the streets, you wouldn't eat, homie. You'd be malnourished, Betty famished, skinny, weak, crawling on all fours, scouring here and there. I'd Robin Hood your ass. You'd be groveling at my bootstraps, begging for my Betty scraps. Every once in a while, I'd toss you a bone. I'd feel sorry for you. I'd string you along. I'd toss you a little Quasimodo throwaway Betty, a little Phantom of the Opera looking Betty, just to keep you alive, like a fucking dope fiend on some morphine, just string you along for another day, so I could watch you struggle again the next day to find another Betty that hasn't already been gotten stuck, because there wouldn't be nothing left for you, my man. Every day you should wake up and pray to me and thank your lucky stars that I'm out of the game. Because if I wasn't, this would be a Mad Max wasteland of Bettys. This shit would be on some Book of Eli type shit. You'd be scouring the wasteland for days at a time. No Betty's in sight. Be months, maybe years before you saw another Betty. If it wasn't for me. My name rings bells, homie. Don't you ever forget that. I'm forever enshrined in the Betty Hall of Fame. And I was so graceful enough to bow out of the game, to let the younger fellas, the Ivanitos of the world, the Gabbies of the world, make a name for themselves. Let them make the team for once. Get them off the practice squad. Give them a chance to go play in the big leagues. Give them a little taste of the big league life. And gracefully retire from the Betty game. And make way some roster room for you guys, so y'all could be the stick men that you have become. Now I stand here, looking upon you, Mr. Ivanito, like a proud pappy. I feel like I pappied you from birth and brought you to this moment, this crescendo of Betty success that you're having right now. and we're proud of you. But just remember, Mr. Ivanito, that you're only where you're at because I allow you to be. Because I was so graceful enough to bow out of this Betty game and leave some for you. So feel free to erect a shrine, a statue, a memorial of the GOAT stick man of all time, Mr. Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. All right, y'all. I did a lot of talking today. What you guys don't know is that I recorded this shit. I recorded about 20 minutes, the first 20 minutes, and the fucking GarageBand shat all over me and unexpectedly quit. Asked me if I wanted to report it to Apple or some shit. Like, I want to go and snitch. I want to go and be a snitch on GarageBand to Apple. No snitching over here, homie. Snitches get stitches. I ain't snitching on shit. I just hit reopen that shit. We'll redo it again. And I did. I guess the next step here is next week. Next week's the final stretch to the greatest sporting moment we could possibly have. It's going to be the biggest fight ever. And if my prediction comes true, will be the greatest upset and the craziest sporting outcome you will ever see in a lifetime. In the least, I can guarantee you that Mr. Conor McGregor is going to put up a far better fight than anyone thinks. We'll get very deep into that shit. Make sure you tune into ESPN and watch that Crawford and Dongo fight this weekend. The UFC's on a hiatus right now until the first week is, I think, the weekend that the NFL starts. The NFL starts September 9th, so I think it's September 8th or something like that is the next UFC card. So we're a little dry on that shit. Some big matchups were announced. We'll go over all that shit as well. Gave you my NFL predictions. Free Zeke. Motherfucking Free Zeke. And until next week, I'm Seth Gecko. This is the Whiskey Sick Podcast, and I'm out. It's now I'm fucking open up. I'm at your fucking door, look the way you're hoping wet. I let you press ignore and do your shit, the rest is more you sold out. Got in store for you what you want and more, you cash the check you can't afford. Plan the fifth and now you're forced to work a job you fucking hate. Worst of all, you're up in age, they call you six, you past the prime. You never reach the last in line, but ever seems to pass the time. You fuck with me? Fuck with me. I love to see the carpet match you with. Start with that's just enough, and just resist the inch. Scratch it, bitch, back with glass, fits, wrap straps around the wrist. But this is just a fictional, this is shit to fix the bitches. This is just a tip, the lesson is a bitch, you bitch. Drop the ass to the fucking floor, you're up in arms. You need a hand to pick you up and break a leg to gain a foot. Safe to say you're down on luck. When we turn the page, the future turns to paper. You first learn to turn the page. Reborn later, found some lines you couldn't read or write. But you can see the night is day and never see the time you stay. Hold them out to shit until you swallow pride and find the way to hold it down. Fold it down on bending knees, heaving, begging, pleading, please. Breathing heavy, bad it seems. An hour I've been standing here with lines to kick your ass in gear. Might see fit to cast the fear of God, it seems. Past is clear, but future's in. You choose a lens, distort your view. Take a number, scan the room. Touch the rubber, let's zoom. Take a number, scan the jaw. Over under, make your move. Turn this ratchet to a wrench. Lost the grips, fuck the screws. Always fast and don't you flinch. Never miss nothing new. For you to choose or not to lose or lose. Is that you lost a few loose screws? Could have used a proof. Truth is like a prostitute. Solutions that you thought you knew. Question two, lesson two. Drop a molly, got the catcher. Watch you fall in love. Then build a trust to break a fall. Don't steal a heart without an alibi. The place you left and why you left the scene. You cut the cameras next to the scene. Stuck your hand but never seen. The fuck you gave. Guess you can't just walk away and hope you pass or catch up. I bet at last you fed up. You wish you had to take out. Flip the switch and just a few strides. You might just slap your dreams. Nah, nah, baby, no, nah, nah, nah. Nah, nah, baby, no, nah, nah, nah. You don't know me, fine lines. Look at them brighter lights. Look into my ride or die. Bitch, you say nah, nah, nah. It's best you never know how far in life you could have gone. With half a heart of flash to start. I'm sell your soul. Ask to borrow, bet you roll the dice. You show your hand and raise the stakes and place them on your chest. Apply some pressure, feel alive. Doctor never, ever lies. Embrace the worst, the better hide. Your time will never come. You reverse the hands and lose the grip. That's it, by news. So soon you tip up, but now you're looking down. You found a new escape. Ducking bitches, fucking hoes. Uppercuts, a broken nose. Don't fuck around and no one knows. How dark a life you truly lead. A sparking night you're doomed to see. The writing on the wall is polished, falling off a month ago. Probably oddly sorry now. So far from just how close I think I got you. Hang you here, let's dance for chance new year. That's the anthem, new cheers. The cheating death, the cool fears. Nah, nah, gonna hold you back, back. Then rock, rock, should've told you that, that. Nah, nah, bitches turn 99. With the bitches five times quicker than nah, 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 nah. Yeah. Nah, 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 nah.